For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I'm excited to talk about last night's Denver Nuggets win as the Nuggets defeated the Boston Celtics last night. Final score, 115-109. A massive, massive victory. Really, really impressive stuff from Denver, and just one of those things that you know you're going to need, you know you're going to get, you know you're going to have plenty of opportunities to make a statement against one of the best teams in the NBA. The team certainly with the best record in the NBA in Boston, and they managed to get it done. What a game last night. What a moment last night. I like to think I played a little small part in it. I was the guy who asked the question about to Michael Malone, and he gave one of his massive, massively famous lines: "Take that L on the way out, baby." That was very funny. That was a good callback, a good moment. And if you're a Nuggets fan, you got to feel great. You got to feel great about last night. Denver didn't even play perfectly. This wasn't like a perfect game from Denver at all. I thought that Jamal had some issues handling ball pressure towards the end of the game. Obviously, that was plain for everyone to see. Denver shot 4 of 21 from 3. And it just doesn't matter because the Nuggets have so much capability to do the things that they need to do in order to get the job done. And that's one of my main takeaways from last night. We'll get into all that. If you can, it'd be awesome if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening on the audio side, that would be great. If you're listening on the video side, make sure to like and subscribe down below to the MHS YouTube channel as we continue to grow the podcast. It's been a lot of fun. Been a lot of fun to do this, and I always love to be able to bask in moments like these after a big, big win. All right. Last night's game. Nuggets were poised. Nuggets were poised. Things didn't go perfectly. But I wanted to look up a stat that I don't know if anybody else is going to bring up. The Nuggets are 8-7 on the season when they make single-digit threes. Which, on the surface, you might be wondering, okay, Ryan, what does that mean? Why are you bringing that up? The Nuggets do not need the three ball to win. And they are one of the rare teams in the NBA that that is true for. It's very rare for a team for that actually to be true. So many other teams, and you saw it in the playoffs last year when Denver was facing Minnesota, when Denver was facing Phoenix, when Denver was facing LA, frankly. LA didn't space the floor all that well against Denver, and that was a problem. And then in Miami, when Miami won the game in Denver last year, it was because they hit a bunch of threes. It was because Denver didn't do a great job defending the three-point line in that game two of the NBA Finals. And you saw it last night. You saw it last night in a big way where things didn't go perfectly for Denver. Things weren't ideal. They shot 4 of 21 from 3. And it just doesn't matter because they're going to generate great shots anyway, and they don't always have to be threes. For so many teams, the open shots are the threes. For Denver, the open shots, or the high percentage looks, the value looks, are shots like Aaron Gordon had last night, where he's dunking the ball through the stratosphere, throwing down alley-oops, doing his thing, and just being absolutely dynamic. It was awesome. Awesome to see. And his dunks were insane. They punctuated what was just a massive, massive victory for Denver. And it's that ability to generate the highest percentage shot in basketball that Denver is underrated for. Harrison Wynn put out a good compilation a couple days ago that got picked up by Bill Simmons about Aaron Gordon catching the lob from Nikola Jokic. And it really has become Denver's staple play throughout their run, where everybody's spaced, everybody's doing what they can to space out the floor. And Aaron Gordon is the main beneficiary because Jokic looks for him every single time. He wants to throw the lob every single time. That's his goal. He puts enough pressure with the floater, with the hook shot, with whenever he gets close to the rim, because his touch is so good, he puts enough pressure that the opposing team feels like they have to step up and help off of Aaron Gordon. But the moment they do it, they're dead, because Aaron Gordon's going to be there every time. He deserves so much credit. It was awesome. Awesome to watch, and great to see that punctuate Denver's amazing win last night once again. Jokic was tremendous. I'll go over the stats here really quick. Aaron Gordon, as I mentioned, he had 16 points, 8 of 15. I didn't think that he attacked the rim that well, especially when he was trying to self-create for himself in the first half, but very much more of a dependent scorer, doing a great job of feeding off of what Jokic was giving him in the second half. Jokic, 39 minutes, 32 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. Initially had a turnover, but they took that turnover away. Not sure what the play was. I don't remember. So he had 32, 12, and 11 on zero turnovers. 11 of 19 from the field, 10 of 10 from the foul line. Didn't take a three. And he was a plus 9 in Denver's 115 to 109 win. They won by 6. He was a plus 9. He was the margin. That's just a day at the office, honestly. Like, the way that this matchup is shaping up, if Denver were to face Boston in the playoffs, Jokic would be putting so much pressure on Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, Xavier Tillman. It's funny. I was thinking, man, Xavier Tillman could make an impact in this series. Xavier Tillman could be the guy that, like, he's being the physical presence around the rim. He's being somebody who can body Jokic a little bit, who can make him work for position, things like that. Because we've seen Xavier Tillman do great things in Memphis against Jokic before. We've also seen Jokic have a perfect triple-double against Xavier Tillman. It didn't matter. Xavier Tillman was a team worst last night in minus 12 in 13 minutes, and they tried to play him against Jokic. It did not work. It did not work in the slightest, because Porzingis isn't quite the roaming rim protector that Jaren Jackson is, that Anthony Davis is, that Rudy Gobert is, these guys who do a good job of disrupting around the rim, helping off of Aaron Gordon when they need to. KP did not do that well last night, and that is a marginal advantage that Denver would have in a playoff series for sure. They can't do the Rui Hachimura adjustment. That's not a thing that can happen. And that's a great thing. That's a great sign for Denver that the strategies that the Celtics can throw at Jokic are not going to work. And that's a great sign. If you've got the best player in the world and that's your first option, that is exciting to see. Jokic was tremendous. That's just what he does. Jamal, he was pretty good for the vast majority of the game. Like, I was very impressed with how he handled the stretches of time when Jokic wasn't out there, when he was staggering for the most part. Jamal Murray was very good. he propped up the bench in a lot of ways. He did a great job of setting the table for teammates, for Peyton Watson, for Christian Brown, for not really Reggie Jackson, but Justin Holiday a couple times, Michael Porter a couple times. But mostly it was Jamal kind of carrying the burden there. And I thought he did a great job. Now, it wasn't perfect. And you saw at the end of the game where he makes some pretty bad decisions. He had 5 turnovers in this game, Jamal did. But he was still a +4. He was still somebody who, like, his major impact throughout the majority of the game was good. And his defense was really good. That was one thing that stood out, where Jason Tatum tried to post him up several times, try to get him into the action several times. And Murray was very disruptive. Like, if he's going to be your quote-unquote weak link, and I actually think that Jokic is probably the weak link in this matchup, just based off of watching it and seeing how Denver has to react to Porzingis spacing out to 3 and things like that. If Murray is going to be one of the pressure points, I think Denver's going to be okay with that, because if Boston's just going to want to try to post him up a little bit, that's not good enough. Now, I wonder if somebody like a Jaylen Brown could try to isolate him in those situations, but I don't think that's going to work that well either. Jamal's been pretty good in those situations, so credit to him for being able to do it. Credit to him for staying up in that situation. Four or two Nuggets asks, why is Jamal such an ass in post games? Yeah, I mean, he's not, it's not great a lot of the time. Although, here's the thing, like, after wins, he's not great. After losses, he's great. He's a very good, he's a very good interview after losses for some reason. Like, he's not as frustrated in those moments. I don't know what it is about his personality where he's like, I think it's maybe more of an expectation. He's a little bit more standoffish a little bit. But yeah, Jamal, like, and I want to push back on this from Snowwolf as well. It's because the media asks a bunch of dumb questions. Well, I'm in there. I'm asking a lot of the questions, and I feel like my questions are pretty good. It's a, like, Jamal, a lot of times when he is in these post-game pressers, he's looking for a combatant. It's not necessarily like he's actively seeking out things that he can kind of pin and prod at. And that's fine. That's his personality. It's not really a, like, it's just kind of a product of the, like, who he is. It's not, I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's good. Would I prefer him to be like, hey, like, yeah, let's go. I'm super happy, super awesome. Like, and I'm going to give you the most insightful thing I've ever said. No, I would say it, but, like, look, he's fine. Everybody has their quirks, and that's one of his. But Denver, like, they outlasted the Celtics. They did a great job, and it was interesting. One final takeaway before we go to a break. Interesting to see Boston not really be able to play their bench. I mentioned the Xavier Tillman thing, where he's minus 12 in 13 minutes. Couldn't really match up with Joker. But Sam Hauser had a couple of good threes for sure. I didn't really notice any problems with Sam Hauser. Like, when he was out there, he was fine. Al Horford couldn't really do anything against Jokic, against others. Peyton Pritchard being taken advantage of in this matchup. And it's interesting. They didn't really have, like, the Celtics didn't have any injuries. Like, this was a situation where they had at least their entire roster. Denver had their entire roster, and the Celtics played all of their starters at least 35 minutes, didn't play their bench a bunch, but their bench was all in the minus, and Denver's was all in the plus. Denver found the margin there. Like, it's funny, Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon were -4, -6, and KCP was -3. They were the team lows. Denver starters weren't perfect in that game, but the bench, they found ways to pick things up. Peyton Watson, especially. He was great. Reggie Jackson kind of went through it. He wasn't great. But Christian Brown, 6 rebounds, 7 points, did a good job attacking. Zeke Nnaji, I thought, had a really good defensive game once again. Although the big problem that happens when Zeke's out there is that Denver's bench has to do a better job of rebounding defensively. And it's not all on Zeke. Like, when he is switching out, when he is doing all those things defensively, trying to guard on the perimeter, and he does a great job, if he forces a miss, then Denver can't give up an offensive rebound 40% of the time like they do with the bench. And that's not on Zeke. That is on the rest of the guys, and credit to Christian Brown for stepping up as a rebounder. Credit to Peyton Watson for stepping up in the second half. And Jamal will get involved on the glass as well. He does a great job with that. Not sure how many he had last night. It's six defensive rebounds. So pretty good. Pretty good number. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to chat about Denver's defense leveling up. I wanted to chat about KCP, Aaron Gordon, P-Watt, and just how that trio has really elevated Denver in so many ways, especially this year. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, it's brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports, who are winning and changing the game this year as the most trusted sports gambling name with a direct line to Las Vegas. And now you can use their promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. It's interesting. Denver was a home underdog last game, and I would have told you to take the Nuggets money line because the way that they respond after losses, especially at home, they're generally 100% in those situations or as close to it as possible. And yes, Boston is a very, very, very good team, but Denver's great too. And if you would use promo code MILEHIGH to get your first bet up to $250, you would have won. You would have absolutely won. So make sure to download that Superbook Sports app, use the promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Pickaxe and Roll.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast, folks. Let's talk about Denver's defense. Let's talk about the way that Denver has evolved this year. They are currently eighth in the NBA defensively, and that's on cleaning the glass. If I go over to NBA.com, let me just check this here real quick. Sorry, I didn't have this pulled up before. Denver has a 113 defensive rating. They're ninth on NBA.com behind Miami. So that's part of, like, that includes garbage time. Cleaning the glass does not. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why I use cleaning the glass, because it kind of factors out some of the excess stuff that I don't really need. But it's really cool. It's really cool to see Denver, a team that has struggled with their defense for a long, long time. Denver struggled. And yet now they're good. Now they are borderline elite on the defensive end. And that's one of those things that you don't necessarily fully appreciate until you start understanding how Denver can win in so many different ways now. They can win with unstoppable offense, and they often do in clutch situations when Denver needs a bucket. They need they slow it down. They do what they can to generate the best shot possible. Usually it's a shot for Jokic at the nail, or it's a lob to Aaron Gordon if they could find it. It's a two-man game possession with Jokic and Murray, things like that. Denver can get to those possessions pretty consistently. But it's their defense that separates them. It's their defense in situations like we talked about last night, where Denver only makes four threes. They're not perfect. Jamal turns it over a few times. And it is just so interesting to me that this is a layer to Denver that we haven't really, like, we saw it. We saw the inklings of it last year. We saw it in the finals last year where Denver really locked in. But that was a playoff thing. And I thought that was just going to be a playoff thing this year, too. I expected them to be maybe a slightly better defense this year and a slightly worse offense this year based off of the personnel that they had. But I didn't expect them to be top 10 on the defensive end, if I'm being honest. And they might finish outside the top 10 with kind of where they ultimately go in this last month of the season. We'll see how seriously they take it. But the way that Denver's defense has evolved has been really, really impressive. And it starts with Aaron Gordon, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Peyton Watson. The optionality that those three, along with Christian Brown and Justin Holiday in situations like last night. But it's really those three who are putting up some crazy defensive numbers, crazy defensive impact, and are making things look really, really good with Denver starters and their bench. Aaron Gordon spent a lot of time on Jaylen Brown last night. Jaylen Brown had 42 points. That's not necessarily the best indicator. I won't say that Aaron Gordon was perfect on the defensive end last night, because he certainly wasn't. But that was part of Denver's game plan. And they did a great job of pushing the ball into Jaylen Brown's hands, because KCP guarded Jason Tatum last night, and he spent basically all of his time on Jason Tatum, spent basically no time on Jaylen Brown. And if Denver wanted to switch back those matchups, then they could. But it's interesting to see, with as much as Jason Tatum likes to playmake, like he likes to go off the dribble, he likes to get the step backs and things like that, KCP did a great job on him. And with as smart as he is, just jumping passing lanes, swiping down at the ball on drives, and just being an overall nuisance for the opposing team, it's those two that are the first layer of defense in Denver's starting lineup that frees up Jokic and Murray, and even Porter, to do the other things that they need to do on the offensive end that are the pretty things, that are the creative things, that are the playmaking things. You need guys like Aaron Gordon and KCP to provide that extra layer. And now you add P-Watt into it. Somebody who, if he had not taken the fall that he did after the block that he had, where he literally falls over the top of Jokic, and I posted a screenshot of it on Twitter earlier. It's so funny. It's so funny to watch. Like, P-Watt is great in the post game last night. He set up, gosh, what was the quote that he shared? Let me find it here real quick. "I shoot for the stars, always been a big dreamer," was something that Watson said when he was talking about trying to go for every block. That is a bar. That's a bar right there. But he was good. He was really, really good, and he provides that extra layer. And I think, like I was going to say, I think he was going to close. I honestly think he was going to close if he hadn't taken a hard fall after that block with about 6 minutes left to go. I think he was going to close over Michael Porter. And Malone kind of sensed what happened. He put back in Michael Porter. Denver goes back to their starting five. And that was great. That was awesome. It's a really good situation for Denver to be in, where they can actively wonder, with as great as Peyton Watson's defense was and as active as he was and as impactful as he was, whether they should go back to the best starting five in basketball. That's a great option. That's a great sign. And it's those three. It's them playing in concert. It's them being able to do different things on the defensive end that are so important. Watson can both defend on the ball and rotate over for the highlight blocks and disruptive rim protection possessions. He can do both of those things. He can switch, he can guard, he can battle, and he showed last night that he can get on the glass when he needs to, even when they're playing two bigs against him. That was interesting to watch. And those three guys, that's the start of things. Christian Brown, he's played a lot better defensively. I thought he was worse defensively last night, but for the most part, he's pretty good defensively, bordering on great. And Justin Holiday, who is a smart defender, I think he's probably the worst defender of those five between AG, KCP, Peyton Watson, and Christian Brown. But if Justin Holiday's your fifth worst, if he's your fifth best wing defender, you're doing pretty good. Denver's got so many options. And in my opinion, the only reason that Denver's not a higher ranked defensive team during the regular season this year is because of effort. That's the only reason. There are so many possessions where Denver, you can see it. You can absolutely see it when you know Denver's locked in, when you know their starting lineup is really ready. There are definitely times where they kind of get a little shaky with the effort. They kind of get a little shaky, not necessarily stepping up when they need to, giving up a lob, giving up a back cut, things like that. Not necessarily as locked in. When Denver locks in, though, they reach a level. And that's what you've seen from Denver's clutch defense. It's why they have the best clutch defense in the NBA and consistently have been over the last couple of years. So when they are locked in, they have both the personnel and the brain power to handle those things. Jamal Murray last night played a great defensive game. Joker, I thought, got cooked a couple times. They had him on Drew Holiday, and Drew was making a couple step-back threes, but those are tough threes. And if you're going to do that, fine. If that's the way you're going to try to win the game, putting the ball in the hands of the guy who, like, you want it in Jaylen Brown's hands, you want it in Jason Tatum's hands, you want it in Derek White's hands, you want it in Kristaps Porzingis' hands shooting the basketball. Those are the things that you want. So Denver forced Boston to go to their fifth option. And he made the shots at the end. But to that point, Drew Holiday hadn't been super impactful and Denver was able to get away with it. So it's fascinating to watch. And yes, Joker will get cooked a couple times on the perimeter, but he's still making an impact on the glass. He's still doing things with his hands. Like, he's still very, very good in those aspects of defense. Denver's just such a better defensive team this year. And it's why they have the inside track for winning a championship again. Because they are not just a one-sided team. They proved that in the playoffs last year, and they've reinforced it now. Denver's a top 10 team on both ends of the floor. Usually in a playoff situation, you have to be great at both. And Denver is. They truly are. You know that Jokic is going to generate a great possession. You know that Murray can hit the shots that he needs to in order to survive in a playoff series. But so much of about Denver last year was answering these questions, and they've answered them over and over and over again. And now you've got to feel really good about where Denver's at. Really, really excited to see where they go from here. They're simply a much better defense than they've ever been before in the Jokic era. So it's exciting. This is an exciting aspect. I'm looking forward to seeing where they go. All right. Let's take a final break. When we come back, we are going to chat about Nikola Jokic stamping himself once again as the best player in the world. But first, this message from Good Morning Broncos.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Final segment, pick, axe, and roll. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. Let's talk about Jokic, best player in the world. I'm just going to fire out a tweet here. Look, hit that like button if you can. Hit that subscribe button if you can. That would really help out the channel. That would be so spectacular. I don't think that the MVP is sewn up. I think that there are still opportunities for Jokic to lose it, for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, maybe even Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think there are opportunities for those guys to get back into the race with some big performances, but Jokic, with the way that he has played so far, like, they haven't really moved, like, the odds. He is in this tier right now where it would be his to lose. And it would be tough for him to lose it. He would have to play pretty badly. He would have to actively kind of shy away from that. I don't necessarily think he's going to do that. I think that as long as Denver stays engaged, as long as they're fighting for a one seed, Jokic is going to play pretty well. They're going to play pretty hard. And Denver's going to try to win in a lot of these games. Will they do it the entire time? No. Will they win the entire time? No. But will it be enough losses? Like, are they going to lose four in a row to pretty suspect teams like they did last year? No. Knock on wood. But if they don't lose like that, then Jokic, I think, there's not a lot that Shai can really do, in my opinion, to differentiate from what Jokic has already done on the biggest stage. I don't know how many, like, with the national game situation, like, I'm not sure how often OKC is on national TV for this remaining time. It would be interesting to see. I want to see what he can do and how he responds. But he's the guy. I don't think that Giannis is the guy. I don't think that he's going to be able to do this. But we'll find out. We'll see. I think that even more important than the Jokic best player or the Jokic MVP talks is the best player in the world talks, because they have quieted down in a lot of circles for asking who else could be the best player in the world. Who else is the guy? There are people that will say that it's Giannis. There are people that will see what Embiid did at the beginning of the season before getting hurt and say Embiid. There are heathens that will say that it's either Steph Curry or LeBron still. They're not really watching this year. But beyond those names, and there are going to be Mavs fans that say it's Luka because of what he does, but that's not really true. Jokic is so clearly the best player in the world. It's not even close at this stage. And he continues to prove it in situations like last night, where he had every opportunity to kind of be disrupted a little bit with the way that Boston was defending him, with the way that they were like putting him into really tough positions. And he had to fight through it. He got teed up despite the fact, like, he never gets rattled despite the fact that he got teed up by Tony Brothers last night. I thought he would get thrown out of the game, if I'm being honest. But he just never fully gets rattled. He never puts himself into a situation where the moment is too big for who he is. Last night, it was really funny. In trying to give a compliment to Peyton Watson, I don't remember who asked the question, but the question was asked, do you think that you could have been in a situation at 21 years old where you're contributing to a championship team? And Jokic deadpan says, yes. He is different in a lot of ways, in good ways, where pressure doesn't face him the same way, where with as much as he practices, as much as he puts out there, as much as he has gone through the muck trying to work his way up into the best player in the world convos, he worked extra hard last year. Except at the end of the season, the regular season in April and March. Outside of that period of time, very few players in NBA history have ever reached the level that Jokic is reaching consistently now, where he sees the game and sees the solution, even if the defense hasn't even presented that problem to him just yet. He sees into the future. And because of all the situations that he's gone through, because of all the ways that he's been guarded, because of how he has grown up, He knows how to approach these things in a healthy way that put him into positions to succeed that other players would fail in. He sees the solution. And it's that skill of his, along, I mean, he's got plenty of other skills. But it's the skill that understands and reads the game at a supercomputer level that puts him into position to make the right play, because he understands what the right play is every single time, that teams like the Celtics just can't match up with. They can't do it. And I'm so excited for where this continues to go, because we're watching something really special here. It's so clear that, like, when you talk about best player in the world convos with other folks, it's about, oh man, Embiid is so unstoppable, or Giannis is just a brick wall and he'll power his way to do what he has to do. Or, like, people will bring up defense into these convos when it's not like we haven't already seen that Giannis or Embiid can be taken advantage of in a playoff series for their defense. Like, we've seen that. Just like we've seen it with Joker. But it's about responding to those moments and putting yourself into the best position possible. And Jokic does that every single time with his mind and with his body. Like, he gets the ball into the middle of the floor, and the opposing team panics. They have no idea what to do half the time. Because even when you play perfect defense one-on-one, Jokic will just back his guy down into the middle of the lane, rise up for a jump hook, or go up and under, draw an and one. It is so demoralizing if you're the opposing team. And if you get help, he'll either kick it back out to the perimeter for a three, he'll hit a cutter, or he will lob it up to Aaron Gordon on the back line. And it's those options that consistently present themselves for Denver that make it an impossible task. Jokic has helped not solve the game, but he's put his team into positions where the decisions are easy for his team to make and hard for the opposing team to make, because they're giving up something no matter what. And it's about what they want to give up that is the real question. So, for a player like Jokic to be able to do that and to step up when the opposing team puts that pressure on him, nobody else has really done that before outside of maybe two guys. It's Jokic, it's LeBron, and it's MJ. And if that's the conversation that we're starting to have, if that's the real conversation, then people are going to get super uncomfortable with where he ranks very soon. The run that he's on is incredible, and I'm looking forward to watching it. I'm so lucky to be able to cover it. I try not to take that for granted. This is a moment in NBA history for Denver, for the league, for international players, for everybody involved. This is a moment, and I'm going to try to fully tap into it if I can. Like, nobody in Denver is taking this for granted right now, because everybody understands that this is, you just don't see this every day. So, really excited to see where he goes from here. Nobody is touching him right now in these best player in the world conversations, and there was some pushback on that online at times. I don't think you're going to see it now. If he continues to prove this in a playoff series, in the playoffs this year, if Denver wins another one, he gets another finals MVP. Like I said, conversations are about to be insane. So I'm looking forward to it. Folks, that is going to do it for this episode of Pickaxe and Roll. What a win last night. What a great performance from Denver last night. Really, really impressive stuff from your Denver Nuggets. Make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button on the way out. That would be tremendous. I'll be back with Swipa on Sunday. Denver's winning, or not winning, knock on wood. They are playing on Saturday night against the Utah Jazz. I'll be back with a Weekends with Swipa episode on Sunday. after that performance. So should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the show. Always enjoy when the chat is bumping. That makes it so much easier to do the show when I get some interaction with folks. If you're just listening, if you want to comment, make sure, like, hop into the live chat. Would love to have a conversation. That would always be great. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I will talk to you guys on Sunday.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.